Scripture reading is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Please follow along as I read God's word. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give understanding in everything. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. At this time, you may be seated, and let me pray, and then I'll introduce our speaker. Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We're thankful that it's able to make us wise unto salvation. It's to make us fully mature followers of Christ. We're thankful, our Father, that we can be a part of the Great Commission right here where we're at. And we can share the gospel, this good news that Christ came and sovereignly took our place on the cross of Calvary. And by believing in him, we can have everlasting life. But Father, we're also grateful that we can support missionaries that go to the ends of the earth with the same message that Christ has come to seek and to save those who are lost. We pray, Father, now that you would use your word to mold us and make us into the very image of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And may the word be pushed through our Father into our hearts and minds by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And may we hear and see Jesus this morning. And for that, we'll give you the thanks and praise because we ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to have our missionary. He's going to come up and he's going to share with us God's word. And it's good to have him back. He came back for a little bit of an emergency time to do some things with his two sons. Darla and the other two youngest are at home, and so he'll be leaving, coming up real shortly to head back to Africa. So, brother, God's blessing on you. Come and share.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you all. For those of you who weren't with us during the Sunday school hour, my name is Seth Curtis. And I'm the pastor of New Life Church in Lubumbashi, which is the second largest city in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So it takes two different airplanes to get to the States, to the continental United States, and one of those flights is 18 hours long. So if you can imagine, you get on the plane, they shut the doors, and you do not get off the plane for 18 hours. It's incredible. Well, I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy. We read the text already. This is one of the key passages that launches us into the ministry of the Congo Coalition. It's our focus passage. It's how we are viewing that ministry as a fulfillment of God's task that he has for us. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, here we find the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor of a local church in Ephesus, and this is what Paul had to say to Timothy. Timothy, my child. You then, my child, specifically says in the New Living Translation. The version that we use in Congo, the New Living Translation, says, Timothy, my dear son. Regardless, Paul had led Timothy to Christ, had he not? During his first missionary journey, we can see that in 1 Corinthians and 2 Timothy. In essence, Timothy was Paul's spiritual child, so to speak. I don't know if you ever use that language. If someone has led you to Christ, has opened God's word, and was the tool that God used to help lead you to an understanding of the gospel, can you call that person a spiritual father or a spiritual mother? I don't believe that Paul was holding this over Timothy in any way, in any kind of a weird way. You know, like a controlling way of, hey, I'm your spiritual father. You need to obey me. I don't believe that there was any kind of a transactional significance to that greeting that Paul is using there of kind of setting the precedent of his platform for authority by stating that he is the spiritual father. Rather, I do believe it was a term of endearment. It would have showed the closeness of relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Paul as the mentor, Timothy as the student, as the young man who needed to learn, who had much to gain from the wisdom that Paul would be able to offer him, especially through the breathing out of the Holy Spirit that we see, because this is became the canon of the Scriptures, right? A part of the 66 books of the Bible. But even though I'm an American, I haven't lived in America most of my adult life. My wife and I got married at 21, and we began preparing for the mission field, and I have lived almost the entirety. I guess I could say this. I have lived more of my life in Congo than I've lived any other place. And my understanding of the church in America, and specifically church culture here in America, is a little bit limited. I am familiar with the issues that we deal with in Africa. I'm familiar with the cultural nuances that we struggle with and wrestle with as the church in Congo. I'm familiar with the different cults that we have there that are not found here in America. The Kimbangist, the Branhamist, which finds its roots here in America, interestingly, but is running rampant all throughout Africa. And so when you talk about spiritual lineage and these kinds of ideas of the spiritual father and the spiritual mother, I'm filtering them through my grid in Africa, and it is a big deal there for someone to say, I'm your spiritual father. We do have to understand, though, that this is, we have to understand this in the context of how Paul would have meant it. There have been people that have come to me and that I haven't seen for years, and they reminded me, you are my spiritual father. And I'm thinking, what do I do with that? What am I supposed to do with that? There is a significance for them there. And I could take advantage of that, I guess, if I want to. Yes, I am your spiritual father. Nah. Anyway. I don't think that that is the emphasis that we see here with Paul reminding Timothy that he is his spiritual parent, so to speak. Regardless, here in our passage, Paul is using this, I believe, as a term of endearment of the mentor-student relationship that there would have been there. And so he says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened. Be strong. Here is Paul's main admonition to Timothy in the first part of this letter. Paul is challenging Timothy. Be strong. Overcome what might have looked to Paul as the mentor looking in, as the wise, mature, worldly, established, understanding the difficulties of life and overcoming them. Recognizing Timothy at the front end and saying, you need to be strong. Overcome what might have looked like weakness to Paul in Timothy's life. Renew his commitment to the ministry that God had given to him. And so Paul is saying, by the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Was Timothy a believer? Most certainly yes, right? How was he to obtain this grace? By the grace that God gives you. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How would Timothy have received that grace? How would he have tapped into that? How would he have benefited from that? Well, the reality was, Timothy already had it. It was already there. Because he was a child of God, of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What you have heard from me, Paul is saying, what you have heard from me, be strong, right? Be encouraged, and trust what you have heard, and trust what you have learned to faithful men. During Timothy's many years that he would have spent with Paul before this time, before he found himself as the pastor of a local assembly of believers, he had been exposed to God's divine truth. He had sat under its teaching. It was divine truth that God had revealed how? through the outbreathing of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, right? Timothy was not ignorant of God's truth. He had sat under it as a student. He had been taught. And Paul is reminding him, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, right? In the presence of many witnesses. What does that mean? Who were the witnesses? It would have been other names that we would be familiar with, right? Silas and Barnabas and Luke. They would have been contemporaries. They would have been there. They would have understood. They would have been exposed to the same things. They would have been witnesses. Others in the early church would have been witnesses in the various local churches of their day. Individuals who would have been able to attest to the divine authenticity of Paul's teaching as coming from God. And that was something that Timothy probably needed to be reminded of if we understand the context of this letter and the time that Paul spends on this topic, right? Considering the false teachers that Timothy, as a young pastor, was battling with, right, in the church there. He is the young man. He had these seasoned, older, mature, supposedly believers in the church that were bringing false teaching. Paul was encouraging him, don't neglect your calling. Don't be afraid of your youth. Right? You know what the truth is. Right? And you need to stand for it. And we have the rest of Paul's epistle to Timothy as the evidence of that. So when Paul says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by reliable witnesses, by many witnesses, what is he talking about? What were the things that Timothy had heard? He had heard God's word. He had heard God's word. Paul is talking about the word of God breathed out by the Holy Spirit and recorded in written form for the instruction of the church. And today we hold that completed word of God in our hands. We hold the 66 books of the Bible, of the Old and the New Testament, in our hands. Where we minister in Congo, there can be churches that say that they teach God's word. And yet there is a huge emphasis on external sources of authority outside of God's word. It can be a very influential pastor in the church, who they would say the man of God, right? The anointed one, even more. How do you argue with that, right? And what he says, we have to do. Right? There's that external source of authority. There are those in the church who would say, I'm a prophet. God speaks to me at night in dreams or visions. Right? Maybe he's speaking to me right now, and this is what God, I have a word from God to you. Right? I've had a person in our church who visited and stand up and had a word of God for us. Right? He saw a vision right then. I see a marvelous what God is going to do in this assembly. And I just listened and I thought, well, that is very interesting. If God does that, that's wonderful, but that's not going to change anything that we're doing moving forward, right? We're relying on these books. These 66 books in written form, that is our authority. And if you have a word from God, then we're going to compare it to these 66 books. And if it agrees, then wow, we already had that. And we're reminded of it now, right? You didn't bring anything new for us. And if it doesn't agree, well, we have a false teacher in our midst, don't we? yeah, we are constantly, as a culture, as a church, bumping up against the dynamics of alternate sources of authority that want to speak truth into our lives. Those who would be telling us the future. Those who have been to heaven and come back. Those who have a spiritual connection with the spirit realm and they have a spirit advisor who is telling them the choices of life that need to be taken. Those who would be advising, don't go here, don't go there, don't go to this school, don't send your child there because I had a dream last night that said this. There is fear and there is bondage connected with that. Paul wasn't talking, as we look in our passage, Paul's saying, you've heard me teach God's word. in front of many reliable witnesses. And then he says, entrust to faithful men these things, right? That teaching that you entrust to the men who will be able to teach others also. He's saying, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to then pass them on to others. Faithful men who will be able to teach others. Timothy was to take the divine revelation that he had learned from Paul, not something new, not some kind of alternate authority that he was receiving on the side, not a teaching from the false teachers that was weaving in the other nuances and these other kinds of things, other rules and other lists that they needed to follow. No, the divine teaching that he had received from Paul, that is what he was supposed to be teaching others. To teach it to other faithful believers so that they in turn would pass it on, and pass on those truths to another generation. So it would go from Paul to Timothy to faithful teachers and then to others. You would see four generations of godly disciples just in that one sentence alone, right? Just that one thought right there. And that process of spiritual reproduction, of teaching, of discipleship, whatever we want to call it, it began in the early church. And it has continued. That's why we're here today, right? We didn't just wake up on a desert island and look around and say, oh, where am I? Oh, whoa, there's a Bible sitting here, right? We were taught by godly grandparents, godly parents, a godly coworker that stepped out of his comfort zone and shared in a vulnerable way the gospel with us. Right? And we need to be looking for those opportunities of who God wants us to share with. We need to be looking in the church for those who are faithful, right? So that we can be entrusted. And this is not just the job of the pastor. Yes, I understand Pastor Timothy here, right? This is Pastor Timothy. Paul's talking to Pastor Timothy. But then the next generation that Pastor Timothy was teaching were not just pastors, right? Faithful people in the church, right? And they are to be teaching others also, right? And that's where all of us come in. And it happens until the Lord returns, right? The next generation and the next generation. Well, it's interesting to see this dynamic at work in our ministry in New Life Church. And I got to share a little bit during the Sunday school hour about just seeking to have biblical goals over the years, and looking back on those and marveling at how God has been working. When we began our church plant, there were no leaders in the church. They were all the ones who were baby Christians, right? Had just received Christ, had just stepped out of deep entrenchment and culture and unbiblical ways of thinking, and were being exposed to God's truth for the very first time, right? Congo, the culture in Congo is not a Christian culture in any way. I was sharing with one of the men in between Sunday school and the morning service of how the predominant way of thinking or worldview within our culture there is that of African traditional religion. African traditional religion, I could say ATR if I want to shorten it, but ATR would hold that there is a creator God who created the universe. And so just like if you have had opportunities ever to interact with someone who is a proponent of Islam, Muslim, who would say, well, Allah is the creator of the universe and Jehovah is the creator of the universe. So those are just two names for the same person, right? And that I've had a Muslim man in Botswana tell me, we are brothers. We are brothers, you and I, because we serve the same God. And what would be the question we would ask to clarify? If we truly are from the same mother and same father, does your God have a son named Jesus Christ? No, they would honor Jesus as a prophet. They would even, every time they would say his name, they would say, blessed be his name, right? But they would not honor him as the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. the one who went to the cross and died for the sins of the world and was resurrected on the third day because he was who he said he was, because death could not hold him. And so we live in a culture with much baggage, and I'm not minimizing every culture has baggage, right? But there is no cultural norm to fall back on of, you know what, my great-grandparents believed this, and now I'm returning to the fold, so to speak, right? This was foreign. God's word is foreign. It's completely different. To the extent that many in our culture say, well, Christianity is the white man's tradition. It's the white man's religion, right? And that's where Kimbangism was born. Kimbangu would fashion himself as the African's Messiah, right? The one sent by God to bring salvation to Africa. And so now there's this whole religion that has sprung up around Kimbangu. It's very racist, right? And we would say, no, Christianity is not racist. Jesus himself was not a white man, right? He was a Jew, right? Of the tribe of Judah. And we are Gentiles. We are far different from him. And yet, he saw us, and he loved us, and he made a way for us to be the church. And he made a way for those in Africa to be a part of the church with us. And together, God is glorifying himself through us. Well, that core group of believers there in Congo, they needed to have 2 Timothy applied to them, right? I needed to teach those who were faithful so they could teach others also. And then raising up from amongst our members, leaders rose to the top. God gifted and God called. God set apart leaders for service. We had our training program initially with the internship at New Life Church where we would invite even our ladies, right? The internship wasn't for the purpose of identifying the leaders of the church as much as teaching our members how to study God's word on their own so that those that God would call out of that would have that foundational understanding of this is not just something for an elite group within the church, someone behind closed doors who studies God's word and then they bring it out and they expose us to it. This is something we do on our own. We study God's word. Right? It's in our language. We understand it and we are studying it. And then we were able to send our those who were faithful from amongst us to that God had been uniquely setting apart. God provided a way for a sister ministry down in Zambia in Kitwe, Central Africa Baptist College, where we could send our members there to receive further training. And now we are together, as those students come back, we are ministering to the church at large in our city through the ministry of the Congo Coalition. So if you were here during Sunday school hour, you got to see the video that we had shown of what God is doing in that ministry as we seek to entrust to faithful men the truths of God's word. Those even who are pastors, right, who have not had an opportunity to study and to learn. Some of these men, they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then they lead some family members to Christ. They expose the truth of God's word to coworkers, and they have this small group, and they say, well, you be our pastor. Right? You have this book on your shelf. You have a Bible, and you're the best one qualified, right, to be our pastor. And yet they come with all this baggage, and there's wrestling through God's word, and we're able to find these men who are faithful, who are just struggling with truth, right? I use the word in the video, a theological famine, because I really do feel that that is what we are experiencing. There is a hunger that is not being fed appropriately. And if it's being fed, it's being fed with junk food. It's being fed with the wrong things instead of the truth of God's word. And so as we host the various theological forums that we do 4 times a year, 30 hours of intensive theological training each time, each week that we would meet. The men are exposed to the meat of God's Word and are understanding it and embracing it and then taking that and teaching that to their church members. We desire to see churches work together. I described the dynamic during the Sunday school hour of 1 Corinthians 12, right, of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 describes the church as a body. We're very familiar with looking in the mirror and seeing a body. It's a perfect illustration. It's a perfect example that we can relate to. There's not a single person that can't relate to having a body, right? We talk about out-of-body experience. Well, no. Everybody can relate to having a body. And we understand that if my elbow is in pain, then the other parts of my body are going to take care of that part, all right? Are going to massage it, are going to put medicine on it, are going to take care of it until it's feeling better, right? And so as parts of the body, we are all together one body, and yet we are many parts. That's how God designed it. We are recognizing that New Life Church in Lubumbashi, we are one part of the body, and we are seeking to minister medicinally to the other parts of the body around us in our city to the extent that it is received, and I can say that. We're not forcing anything upon anyone. We do have our doctrinal statement. It is the streamlined, it's very... very streamlined doctrinal statement, but it is the gospel, right? That would be the main thing, right? How do we know who is in the body with us? It's those who share the one Spirit with us, right? Who have the Holy Spirit, who are teaching the gospel, and their members are understanding the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling them, right? And when we share that one Holy Spirit together, then we are part of the same body together. And then, regardless of how much of a mess they are, they're now part of the body, right? And if it's a part of the body that's struggling, now we are responsible to help aid and grow and repair that part of the body. So that is what we're seeking to do through the ministry of the Congo Coalition. And God has slowly grown up a group of churches through that where there was no fellowship before, there was no like-mindedness through mutually being exposed to the truth of God's Word and agreeing with it, we are forming those close relationships and like-mindedness in God's Word. And I don't think that these guys would be able to necessarily put together their doctrinal statement and say, I am this, you know, I'm a Baptist with a capital B, or I always say I'm a Baptist with a small b. But because are we going to have those divisions in heaven? Is that really important? Yes. God's Word is there, and we're going to all understand it correctly when we get there, aren't we? And so we divide ourselves up, but at the end of the day, who are the parts of the body that are not doing well? Let's take care of them. And that's what we're seeking to do through the ministry of the Congo Coalition. Those who are being faithful, let's teach them God's Word so that they will be able to teach others also. And I started to share in the Sunday school hour, didn't have kind of ran out of time, but that our pastors within the Congo Coalition, the ones I say our pastors, they're God's men, right? God is the one who gifted each one a shepherd or teacher and gifted the assembly of believers with them. And God is the one who is bringing people to himself and growing that church. And those men are passionate about teaching the truth that they know, and every time they come to one of our block classes, they understand more to be able to teach their people more. I so marvel at God's plan of his faithfulness, that he is building his church, and that he has chosen to use New Life Church as a tool in that process as we faithfully apply God's word, as we see here in 2 Timothy 2, then now the next generation is doing the same and doing the same and doing the same. And our fellowship is growing. The church in our city is growing. Doesn't mean there isn't still issues that you might walk into one of those churches and you would say, I don't feel comfortable here. I wouldn't attend here. I wouldn't be a member here. Well, is the Holy Spirit there? If he is, we recognize him as a church. It might not be for you, right? Just like you've found this assembly as your home, and God has this for you, and he wants you to be here. He has gifted you as a member of this church, a part of this body, to get involved and to do the part that God has for you. Right? And if he didn't want you here, you wouldn't want to be here because he would work in your heart in that as well. Right? And so we found, I guess going back around the barn, we found that our pastors were not raising up their Timothys. Right? Again, truth needed to be exposed. Right? Truth needed to be shared. And the realization of we are to be propagating ourselves. We are to be sharing God's truth with the next generation. And then they began bringing their Timothys to the training as well. And now we have the problem of how are these Timothys trained, right? Because the Ministry of the Congo Coalition is kind of a stopgap. We're trying to meet pastors where they are in the trenches, right? But it's not a full package that would be able to train them quickly in a short amount of time. These men are deeply entrenched in ministry. They have families. They have church events every single evening, some of the churches. Understand this. If you have lower class ministries where people don't even learn how to read, well, then churches are having programs where the people can come and be exposed to God's word often, just like you would in your prayer closet, just as you would at home, where you can sit down in the quietness of your home and open your Bible and study God's word. If you can't read, how do you do that? If there is no Christian television and Christian radio and good music, how do you learn God's word? Well, your church has to step in and fill those needs. And I would say these guys are doing a good job of that. They can't break away. Now, they are full-time busy. But their Timothys, their young men that they are raising up and teaching, they're at that college age where they can step away. They don't have a family yet. They don't have a job and a tie, something to tie them down to one program. They can step aside. They can give 3 years of their life to intensively study God's word. And that's where the next phase of the ministry is to be seeing God's plan for the beginnings of a Bible Institute in our region. And God is working in some amazing ways throughout that. I started to give just a brief update on that, and I'll just finish now. When we got back to Congo last year as a family, one of our church members approached me and said he had a business contact that wanted to talk to me, and that he had a large parcel of land to the north of us, about 100 miles as the crow flies, and he was looking for churches, a group of churches. He's a little bit of an ecumenical kind of a guy. He himself is broad thinking, but he wants to bring a spiritual emphasis to the area where that land is. It's the town, the village of Kabongo, and he has offered to our church to give a parcel of land where we can have the training facility, and we can have a farm there that would help support that training facility. And as far as we understand, and we are free to operate that as we see fit, as we stand before God. And we're thankful for how God is working in those details. We visited the land with a delegation from the church, and we tromped around, and we couldn't be more excited with the opportunities there. There's a large river that flows by that the farm would be able to irrigate from. There's villages around that are in need of the gospel that we would be able to immediately begin ministering in. There are huge opportunities, and we're so thankful for that. It's a place where the people of our church, who are city folk, really, Lubumbashi is the second largest city in Congo, are able to go and have influence in that area, have a platform for speaking, be received well, and be given opportunities to teach. And we're really looking forward to how God is working through that. Pastor Teo, just as I shared during the Sunday school hour, many Congolese are trying to leave Congo if they have an opportunity. If they have a stepping stone through education or somehow to be able to leave Congo and go and find a job somewhere else, they are scrambling to find a way out. And God burdened Pastor Teo with the ministry in Congo to where he wouldn't want to go anywhere else except return to Congo. And I believe that just as God prepared my heart to go to desire to go to Africa, where many Americans would say, God, I'll follow you, but please don't send me to Africa, right? I was saying, God, I'll serve you, just please let me go to Africa. That can only be God working in your heart in those moments. And God called Pastor Teo back to the ministry. And Pastor Teo, when the land was being given to the church, Pastor Teo was saying, I would love to serve God by moving out to the village and serve him there. And I just shake my head and think, nobody ever says that. God is working in all of these details to give a burden for these areas that are need to be reached. I've always said that, I've always understood, and if those who are in Sunday school, you have our goals sheet for the ministry, I've always understood that it is not a future army of missionaries who is going to reach all of Congo for Christ. It will be this 2 Timothy dynamic of teaching faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Not a future army of missionaries who we would be waiting for someday to come and do that task. It will be starting with New Life Church and starting with these churches that we're ministering to within the Congo Coalition. God will raise up his laborers to go into all parts of our region and our country and beyond. And that doesn't mean we don't need missionaries. If there is someone here, even today, who would say, I would be overjoyed to serve God in a cross-cultural context, I know you can find cross-culture right here. I bet you can walk across your road. I bet you can go to the other side of the town and go into a cross-cultural context. And then there is cross-demographic contexts and cross-countries. And if you would be so desiring to serve God in that way, I'd ask you to talk to your pastor. That's not something that you decide on your own, right? If God is burdening you in that way, then the church is a vital part of that. And the church has a task of equipping you and evaluating you and sending you. So I'd encourage you to talk to your pastor if that is the case. But I wanted to ask you to please keep in prayer the ministry in Congo, specifically over this next year. There are a lot of things in motion that are staged to happen. We're going to be bringing on our next elder into the elder team in January. Pastor, he will be pastor then, Paul Mukombo. He has been training down at Central Africa Bible University, and we'll be welcoming him onto the elder team. It will be myself and Pastor Teo Kabongo and Pastor Paul Mukombo. Please pray for us as we shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to us, and as we tap into the opportunities for 2 Timothy 2 engagements that he continues to give us through the Congo Coalition and through the Future Bible Institute initiative. I'd greatly appreciate your prayers for all of those things. Let me pray for us and we'll close our time together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of it. We thank you for the completeness of it. We thank you that we can go to college, we can study every day, and yet we can find new truths in your word that we need to internalize more deeply and understand more completely all throughout our entire lives until we pass from this earth and pass into your presence. We look forward, Father, to the day when you return. We look forward to being with you. We recognize that this life is not where we will find our joy, our fulfillment, our contentment. We understand that this place is a place of work. We need to be serving you. There is an urgency to what needs to take place during the time that we have left. You are bringing, truly, this age to a close. You are ushering in the end times, Father. Some things seem to be happening before our eyes during these days. We marvel at your hand and how you work. We are privileged to be called your children. We are privileged that you give us a task, that you give us a purpose and a meeting within the church to be serving you. And a big part of that is what we read this morning, entrusting to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Father, give us continually these opportunities. Help us to be faithful in all of these tasks. We We trust you and we pray in Christ's name.